Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've seen you out there working, trying to get back into game shape. So I got to ask you, because everyone wants to know, just do you have an idea of when we could see you back out there?
Very soon.
Okay.
That's Isaiah Likely on a Purple Playbook, courtesy of WJZ TV. That was just last night. Fans love it. Jeremy, we're going to see you very soon.
Everybody goes crazy.
Yeah. But I don't know what very soon means. I mean, is it Monday?
Is this like the black, it's been a minute?
No, it's the opposite. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's about that. It's about that.
It's a measure of time that you don't know what that measure of time actually,
right, actually
is.
Means.
Yeah. It all depends on context. Yeah. This doesn't give me context. And would you let them play Monday night? And then play Sunday, being he's coming off of injury, or do you wait
probably
till
not.
Sunday?
I'd probably wait till the Chiefs game.
That's the only reason why I'm thinking Chiefs. If it was Sunday, yes. Well, if this was Thursday, then the following Sunday, definitely. But yeah. Monday, Sunday, I don't think so.
The only way he should be playing this week is if he's healthy. I mean, honestly, like, again, this isn't something, and I understand how important the Kansas City game is, but when you had the option of putting him on the IL for 4 games, right, and he could come back after that, or IR, however you want to put it, mm-hmm. when you had that chance to do that and keep, you could have kept one of those guys you let go that everybody, you know, everybody's JAD. You could have had him on this roster still and figured out what you were going to do at this point in time when he comes off.
Yeah.
My thought process is that I think he's got to play in one of these next 2 games.
He has to.
But if you did this for a reason, and that's why I think it might actually be this game that he comes back, because was it worth it to keep him as a roster spot for that 1 game against Kansas City? Maybe they feel like it is because of the history there.
So you think they kind of anticipated Week 3 all along?
That's my belief. I have no inside knowledge or anything, but when you had the option of, okay, he's going to miss the Kansas City game, but we keep him on the, you know, we let him get healthy for 4 weeks, and then we get to keep either JAD or one of these other guys that they cut. Yeah, you in the front.
Why is it when I say I have no real knowledge of this, you say that means somebody told me? But well, you say
that's only about the Orioles, because then I can play that off like you know something and make you what's the right word I want to use? Make it sound foolish, that like Rob's lying to y'all. Like Rob knows, man. Come on. When he says that, he knows.
Okay. So what this is different.
This is different situation. Yes. Right. Yeah, yeah.
All right. I want to know the rules.
I'm not into breaking stories. But every once in a while I do.
I'm not into breaking stories either. When Rock and them go out, because we can do everything in the clubhouse but tweet. So when they go out and tweet things, they're like, why aren't you going out and tweet? I said, because I'm just going to retweet you.
Yeah.
I'm not breaking news. I'm just going to retweet you.
My favorite thing was back when I got the J.J. Hardy information before anybody here.
Well, signing him?
Signing him. Yeah, I had a buddy. I mean, I don't need to get in the connection, but I got the story. Mm-hmm. And so I posted, I'm hearing this is going on. And then you hear all these other, where'd you hear that? I said, look, man, I don't break stories, but I know this is happening.
And so I'm not telling you my sources.
I'm not telling you where.
Yeah, exactly. So
where'd I hear that?
Who are your sources? That's when me and Nesta got into a fight.
But the best part about this is then all of a sudden I started picking up new followers in the baseball world. Like Jim Bowden started following me until the first post of what's in my butt. And then he probably unfollowed me. Hey, man, this guy's breaking. What is that, something in his ass? What is that? What is he doing?
Did I ever tell you that I hated that signing?
What, JJ?
Yeah.
Oh, I love JJ.
I hated it.
Why?
Because I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
That's where the story's going, because I was wrong. I mean, I love JJ Hardy, but I was wrong. Why are you? Because that's back when they weren't very good. Here we go. signing another guy that can't help you get over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Foot in my mouth. And you signed a guy to help you get over the top.
See, and my favorite thing about him was the stories that would come out that he's basically the best at parlor games. It doesn't matter what you pick. If you pick table tennis, bumper pool, cornhole, like all these different games that people play, nobody could beat him. Nobody.
Nothing. Really?
Yeah. He biggest... had to get bored. He played opposite hand. He did all kinds of stuff that they talk about. Somebody just beat him in a game of table tennis because I heard a national, it was actually an announcer talking about it, that it finally happened.
Somebody on the Orioles told me he was the biggest competitor in that clubhouse.
Well,
he was like, no, I mean, he hated to lose, you know, the walk from the restroom. You know, he just wanted to win at everything that he did.
But I think he also wanted not just to win, he wanted to crush you in it. He wanted you to never ask him to play again. I ain't playing him, man. Last time he beat me 21-2.
And that's why I didn't
break you.
I must break you.
That's why I didn't. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. If you're putting up 40, and I know the Ravens offense didn't put up 41 the other day, but they're putting up 40. If you put up that many points, Ed, without Isaiah Likely, does Isaiah Likely make your offense more potent, or does he just fit into what you're already doing?
I think he fits both. I think he fits into what you're already doing, but makes you more potent because he adds a little bit. I mean, this offense is prolific. They don't need him right now, but you add him, you got another big piece.
I want to flash back to 2005, 2006, Rob. And Ed Norris says, this offense is prolific. I would have literally laughed out loud. Prolific at what? Now you fast forward to 2025. You say that, and
can't argue with
no one.
It.
Yeah. Not only that, the person who wants to argue with you the most contrarian person around, cannot argue with that statement that the Ravens' offense is prolific. You can't form an argument.
Seriously. Yeah.
The biggest contrarian around is to your right, and he didn't say anything. He just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I mean, and all because I don't think it's just because you got Lamar. I think Lamar is a big part of that, but I think it's because you put pieces around Lamar. Lamar by himself is the best player on the football field who needs help. Lamar with help is the best player on the football field lifting others up.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, he's with Magic Johnson with the Lakers, man. You put some people around him, they're going to win championships. That's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to distribute. I'm going to make you look good. But when I call my own number, I'm going to make it look bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you look real bad. That's Lamar Jackson. He's a point guard playing quarterback.
But, I mean,
he's a scoring point guard.
There's no question. And going back to this, having another weapon like Isaiah Likely, because I don't think there's another player like him on the team. I don't think many teams have a player like him. Because, again, we talk about the athleticism at the tight end position, but it's more than that. Like, Brock Bowers might be the best tight end in football right now, right? I mean, he could be. You can make a case. Brock Bowers isn't making you miss and breaking a tackle and going
he's not
50 yards for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He might catch one over the top and run it in. But he ain't doing that. Like, Isaiah Likely, to me, is like a bigger version of a wide receiver playing that spot. And he's always going to have mismatches because of his athletic ability.
Yeah.
So, seeing him come back, I think it just adds a huge boost to this offense. Because it's like, pick your poison. It's your either-or offense, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Pick your poison and figure out which guy it's going to be. Is it going to be Mark Andrews today? Is it going to be Likely?
410-583-1057. That's the number. Clubhouse Connection at 8:30. Commissions Baltimore, a very special one at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, D.C. City Council officially approves new Commander Stadium to be completed in 2030. Is football back in D.C.? Good for the game? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man. Do you think football in the nation's capital is good for the NFL? Not in PG County, but actually in the proper of the District of Columbia.
100%.
Why?
I just do. Because I think it's good for the city. I think it's a good look for, even when it's on television, to highlight the different cities. I like when, you know, we have games here and they do shots at the Inner Harbor and it looks like a fantastic place. I just like that. I've lived in three cities for most of my life, right? New York, obviously, Baltimore, and then Tampa. Two of them have the sports teams right in the city. Mm-hmm. New York, the baseball team's there, but the football teams have moved to this god-awful place in another state.
Called New Jersey?
That place.
Yeah.
And it's not the same. It's just not the same. You don't get the same feel for it. People are still rabid fans, but it is not the same.
Have you been there? Have you been to?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Sure. I didn't know, I've been there. Have you?
Yeah,
I've been there for football and for concerts. In fact, when they first opened, I called a game for Morgan. Morgan played, can't remember what he played. It was the HBCU Classic. I think Howard when they first opened.
Yeah, I was there for the Super Bowl when I watched Pete Carroll's sorry ass celebrating on the sideline.
Mm. You mean when they beat the Broncos?
Yeah.
Beat the brakes off the Broncos.
43-8. Peyton Manning broke a bunch of passing records in that game.
Bad ones.
No, he broke just because he threw the ball 100,000 times.
I beat Vinny in a bet for that game.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Can't remember what it was.
It was one of my worst. I always tell the story. It's one of my worst experiences. And then people are like, wah, I went to the Super Bowl and had a bad time. Wah.
Yeah. Okay. Again, another bullseye by this place. I offered to go up with my then co-host because it was in New York City. We were going to stay with my parents, drive up, and, you know, do our jobs up there. Cost free to the station. No.
No, we don't need it.
We don't need that.
You know why they said no, don't you?
Because other people would want to do
it. Because it's not New York City, it's in New Jersey. If the stadium was in New York City, they would have said yes, Ed. But no, I agree with you. Yeah. I think it's best when you have stadiums actually in the city. Like, they're talking about building this new thing in Chicago. That's like so far away from the city. I don't like that.
I don't know if people realize how lucky they are that it's. I mean, people bitch about it, and I get the crime, I get everything, but it's something special about having your two major sports teams right downtown next to each other. It's very cool, and I did not like it when I lived in when the Jets and Giants moved out. I was like, this sucks, and they actually did the same thing the Orioles did in reverse. Remember, the Giants changed the helmet logo to the that really creative one that said Giants. Because they wanted to placate the New Jersey people. Just like when we took the Baltimore off the road uniforms here, because there was no team in D.C. Same idea, but it just, you're very lucky we have these teams downtown. I think it's great.
I think the Orioles are doing something with their logo next year. But Joe, you said you gave me, what day was that?
September 25th, 2010.
That was the Morgan versus Howard game.
Correct.
All right, yeah. September 2000, that was 2010? That's before I came here. I think I called Morgan until 2012. Oh, wow. I think I called Morgan from 08 to 12. That was a fun job. When you went to HBCU schools, fish fry. The fish fries were unbelievable, Ed. The food, the fraternities, the sororities. Mm-hmm. It was a part. You didn't want to, just to take the walk to the stadium. You got disappointed when you got to the stadium because it was so much fun. Yeah. Oh, my God. The HBCUs know how to party, man. The night before, the parties the night before, the fraternities, that was a great job. Great game.
Kill a cheetah? Hey, I remember. You know the handshake?
What?
Did you guys ever see? Kai, Fi, Kai, Fi. Anyway, I was talking about Road Trip when they showed up at the black fraternity and the guy's like, yeah, I know the handshake. We're good. And then the guy opens the door, and he does know the handshake. But as soon as they walk in, they're like, yeah, there's nobody in here that looks like us. And the creepy skinny dude hooks up with the chick. And that's when he shows the panties, and they're just like...
The gigantic ones?
Yeah, he said, what'd you do, kill a cheetah? Anyway, doesn't work when you got to explain it.
I got it. I understood it.
He didn't.
Oh, okay.
I just don't think it's funny.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You know what? That's it. Done.
L.A. has two teams. I think L.A. is... I question sometimes, Jeremy, if L.A. needs one NFL team, let alone two.
I mean, look, in all honesty, I know Ed talked about Tampa and how great some of that stuff is, but like most of the Florida teams, Tampa's the one that I think kind of works out. Like teams in Miami, people don't go to the games. Mm-hmm. You know, teams in Jacksonville, people don't go to the games. I don't know what's going on with the Orlando Magic, but again, like there's so many things to do. And I feel like California is the same way for a lot of it, especially in LA. You got so many things that you could possibly do. Like, is that really what you want to do? Is go to a, like, for example, with football, you put the Chargers and the Rams in there. I mean, do people root? Do they want to see the Chargers coming from San Diego to LA? Like, yeah. is that what you want to watch?
I think this should still be in San Diego. I thought it was a terrible move.
It was like the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels or whatever you want to call them. Remember when they changed their name? Now they're just the Los Angeles Angels. Why? Because it looks better. It sounds better than Anaheim.
They're not of Anaheim anymore?
I don't know.
I thought they were Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
They may put that at the end, but who's really saying that?
No one, but I'm just saying that I think that's how they placated to Anaheim. In front of you brought up Miami. My buddy MJ just texted in. He said their stadium situation has to be the worst because it's an hour from South Beach.
Is it an hour?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's an hour exactly, but it's a hump. It's definitely a hump. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it may be closer to Hollywood, Florida, than it is to Miami, Florida. That stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be the worst.
I think that's right.
Yeah. It's 40 minutes from South Beach. Okay. So close to an hour. How can you check how far it is from Hollywood, Joe? I think it might be closer to Hollywood than it is to South Beach.
Joe, can you check?
Go ahead.
Yeah, from Poughkeepsie to Miami? I'm curious.
It is closer to Hollywood? Yeah.
Miami Gardens.
Yeah. Hmm. But to your point, does anybody care down there?
Yeah. Well, again, if the team is winning, yes, people will show up. People showed up for the Rays playoff games and didn't show up for the regular season games. But I think that's kind of the anomaly in Tampa Bay because people show out for the Lightning. They show up for the Bucks.
Yeah.
What else am I missing? Anything?
If I was the Rays players, I would say, y'all go home.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. Y'all go home. Come out just to see me in the playoff game, man.
They took the top off their stadium, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you guys are playing in a minor league stadium all year. And guess what? You get to go on the road the second half of the season. Enjoy yourself.
I remember in high school, you had people come to your football games, but the girls would come to you, I'm coming to homecoming game. I'm like, so? I'm supposed to be happy that we play five home games and you come to the one home game? What am I supposed to do with that information? Going to homecoming.
Nice.
410-583-1057 is the number. Was that your Mike Tyson from Hangover?
Spinal, yeah. Nice.
Action-packed Thursday for you. Ed likes to call this day.
Friday, Pep.
Commissions Baltimore at 9. Rudy Gay will join us at 9:15. But on the other side, I take you inside the clubhouse. Clubhouse Connection up next. On the Fan. I want to actually take this clubhouse connection and have a ask you guys a couple of questions, all right? All right.
I'm not as connected to the clubhouse.
Jorge Mateo, Luis Vasquez, and Ryan Mountcastle. All three gone, one gone, two gone for next year. Jorge Mateo, Luis Vasquez, Ryan Mountcastle.
Yeah.
All three gone?
All three gone.
Ed?
Can I give you the caveat?
At the caveat, for me, what I would say no is Mountcastle.
So that's what I was going to say is if they end up moving Mayo because they get something greater back, I don't think that happens, then I would say that Mountcastle would be coming back. You'd have a guy that's a little bit more established. He's just got to stay healthy, which he hasn't done the past couple years. But ultimately, I think all three guys are gone because I think they're keeping
Mayo. I'd say two for sure, and Mountcastle maybe not.
See, I think Mountcastle is as gone as Jorge Mateo is.
Yeah.
I think so. I think...
He doesn't have any inside information on that. I don't know why I'm winking.
This is why I think so.
Yeah.
We keep saying that Mike Elias has a lot to prove next year. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Who has more to prove than anybody else in his organization next year? Ownership.
Okay.
Ownership has more to prove than anybody else
in his organization.
Anybody. Well, I started off with Elias.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, how do owners prove things to their fan base?
By winning, by spending money.
In order to win, you got to spend.
Or you got
to
draft really well and develop.
They've done that.
But you shouldn't have a season like you had last year.
They've done that. What they don't have is that leader, that guy that says, this is how you do it. They don't have that. I think they spend at first base. I think they spend in the outfield. And I think they buy at least one starter and a couple of bullpen hands. I think this ownership group is going to spend in the offseason. Keep in mind, before some of you roll your eyes at me and cross your arms, they offered a pitcher $45 million a year this offseason. They offered him that. Now, they didn't.
I'm crossing my eyes and rolling my arms.
They didn't land him because he wanted to go home, but they offered him $45 million last year. So they're saying, hey, we want to spend. I think this ownership has a lot to prove. This group has a lot to prove. They're spending the offseason. I think they upgrade first base. You got to upgrade first base. I think they go out and get an outfielder. I love Colton Cowser in left field.
Okay.
Please don't give me the diving catch that he made, because if you do, I will introduce you to the play that he did not make the inning before, which was a simple play. He didn't make that play.
I remember
that play's got to be made.
The guy that was trying to argue with me about Mullins and Cowser, and he's like, oh, Cowser's going to be a way better center fielder than him. I said, what gives you that?
No.
I'm looking at his metrics, and if you look at it, it's like, come on, man, stop.
Jeremy, I wouldn't start with either one of those guys in center field next year, Cowser or Mullins. I don't think either one of them get the job done on a routine basis. Don't give me the great plays. Gunnar Henderson is not a better shortstop this year because he's making great plays. Gunnar Henderson is a better shortstop this year because he's making more of the routine plays.
Yeah.
That's what makes him better. I think they spin in the outfield, they spin at first base, they spin in pitching because they have more to prove than anybody else. Colton Cowser's got to get out of center field. And I think Ryan Mountcastle, as much as I love him, I love Ryan Mountcastle, but he's not the answer at first base right now. I love what Kobe Mayo is doing. I love him. But he's not my everyday first baseman right now. And if you go into next season and those guys are part of your plan, then your plan is hoping. You're hoping that Ryan Mountcastle returns to form that he was, 3 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping that Kobe Mayo takes the next step. That's what you're hoping. You're hoping that Colton Cowser becomes the Rookie of the Year candidate that he was again last year. All of these are hope, plans of hope. You're not going to win the AL East with hope. You got to win the AL East with talent, with proven talent. And I think the Baltimore Orioles ownership does that in the offseason.
I think the problem that you have, though, with so if we're upgrading at first base, what does that mean for Mayo? You think he's in some sort of deal?
I don't know. Maybe so.
Okay.
I think so.
You
asked me what I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I answered based on guarantees. That wasn't the question. Do I think he's part of a deal? Yes, I do.
Okay. So, because the point is, as I'm looking at it, there's not a ton in this offseason that you're going to go get. Kyle Tucker's the best piece. And if you're competing for Kyle Tucker, you're competing with all the big dogs and spending a ton of money. But then when you start looking at other, there's a lot of guys with player options like Cody Bellinger and Pete Alonso, which if you're talking first base or center field, because Bellinger can play both center or first. Wouldn't you feel like he's going to opt back in with the Yankees? Kyle Schwarber's out there. He's not a first base. What are all these pop-up ads going on this damn computer? Kyle Schwarber's out there. Salvador Perez. Jock Peterson.
Yeah. No.
Bad bitch.
Yeah. Reese Hoskins. Like, there's not.
No.
There's just not a lot out there. There's the great. And there's good starting pitchers. Don't get me wrong.
First baseman, they're all like studs.
What?
I mean, like Alonso and then Company.
But they have player options, so you don't even know they're going to be free agents.
I promise you that Pete Alonso will opt out and the Mets will not let him out of New York. He's now their all-time home run leader.
I'm with you.
He won.
He did.
He won. Yeah. You cannot let Pete Alonso walk now. He owns you.
Yeah.
You own the team, but he owns you now because you messed up in the offseason. Now, Jeremy, let's turn the page. Let's go to pitching. All right? Mm-hmm. Dietrich Enns, Rico Garcia, Cade Stroud. How many of those guys are part of the bullpen next year?
One.
Who?
I don't know. I mean, is it like I'd have to go look and see, comparatively speaking, what else they do in the offseason, because it'll let me know more about what they're looking for. Like, how many arms are you looking for? Because you're looking for a closer.
If you say one, it's Dietrich Gins.
That's what, well, when I, we were talking to Ben yesterday, that's kind of the feel I got.
If you say two, is Rico Garcia, add him to that. I think Cade Stroud is the third of it. You say what?
I'll go Rico.
I can throw a football over those mountains.
But I think if you put throw Cade Stroud in there, then you're reaching, and maybe the bullpen didn't improve that much. I think maybe he needs to go back to the minors and get a little more seasoning.
So real quick, let me run.
I think Cano's got to go.
Here's the first baseman that could be available. There's a guy named Ryan O'Hearn that's an undrafted free agent. Max Muncy has a club option for $10
million. Can I stop you for 1 second?
Yep.
If you go to Ryan O'Hearn, are you taking a step forward or backwards?
Backwards.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just throwing the names
out
there.
I'm with you.
And the sad part is he's one of the best names when you look at this list of guys. Josh Naylor, undrafted free agent, could come in and play first base. Lots of power. Josh Naylor.
Oh, you mean a free agent. Okay.
These are free agents, yeah.
Okay. Paul, you said undrafted. Oh, is this a new guy? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Unrestricted free agent, yeah. Sorry. Paul Goldschmidt, no.
No.
Wilmer Flores, no.
No.
Miguel Andujar, he's batting third for Cincinnati, but no.
No.
Ty France, Carlos Santana, Dominic Smith.
No.
Joey Gallo still out there.
No.
I thought you said Joey Callow, my bad.
No.
Back Ho Kang. Yeah. That's the first baseman market, so I don't know that you're...
Trade.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't know that you're improving at first base unless it's a trade.
Go get one. And before you tell me Kyle Schwarber can play first base, I say to you, go get one.
Yeah.
Now.
Does Kyle Schwarber play anything?
I mean, they put him in left field.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, right? But he shouldn't bring a glove to the ballpark.
No, he can't play the field.
He's Edward Scissorhand.
And he was a bad catcher and an even worse outfielder.
Yeah.
Because that's my impression of, like, he's not going to play a position.
He couldn't crack the lineup with the Cubs because they didn't have the DH rule yet. That's why he couldn't play every day.
Yep.
As an outfielder, he's a DH.
He also got hurt, too, and they weren't waiting on that.
As an outfielder, he's a DH. Now, I will say this. I don't think it'll ever happen because I think Kyle Schwarber to the Phillies is what Pete Alonso is to the Mets. You can't let him walk out.
I agree.
However, if they sign Kyle Schwarber, Jeremy, then I bring Ryan Mountcastle back.
Man, this is just an ugly market.
If you sign Kyle Schwarber, I'll bring Mountcastle back because Mountcastle will hold it down defensively for you. Let's go out to Mitch and Owings Mills. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing good. Well. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I think the Orioles, man, I think they got stuck in a place where they were contenders and you had a stockpile of prospects that you really couldn't bring up and showcase them too much. So instead of, you know, getting rid of them when their value was extremely high, and bringing some other people in, you got a little bad, and you had to start playing them, and then they didn't perform.
Which one of the prospects would you have gotten rid of? Not based on what you know now, based back then. Who would you have gotten rid of?
That's hard to say.
Exactly.
Well, because
that's my point.
Back then, everybody was saying, I don't care who you get rid of. And now if you're looking at it, you're going, well, thank God you didn't trade Jackson Holliday.
Exactly. See, it's
thank God you didn't trade Sam Basayo.
It's hindsight right now. You know, remember Dylan Beaver's name came up in a possible trade scenario. Thank God you didn't trade that. He might be the best. He might be the Nick Markakis of this class. A guy who can hit home runs, but a guy who's a masher at the plate.
I know they're not. There's nothing that they're going to do because he's going to opt back in unless they pay him to go away. But you're talking about improving, and it's not a great. It's not a great offseason. But when you look at the player where you can improve, if Tyler O'Neill stays healthy, I think he's a fine player. But he never does.
If Tyler O'Neill stays healthy, he's a 30 home run guy. He's a hitter.
Yeah.
He can hit. He just doesn't stay healthy. Let's go to Phil and Dundalk. What's up, Phil?
Hey guys. How you doing?
Good. All right. Yeah.
Just a couple things. I'd like to be a fly on the wall for the scout who told Mike Elias or suggested to Mike Elias about Kyle Stallers. And I'm just afraid. That's because the same thing's going to happen with Mr. Mayo. That's the only thing I'm worried about.
What do you mean, scout? So you wouldn't trade Stowers for Trevor Rogers?
In hindsight, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, his wasn't hindsight. He told you at the point of the trade. What is this revisionist history? He told you when they traded for him, we saw some things that we like, and we think we can get him back to form. Fast forward to now. Did they get him back to form, Phil? Are
you guys really going to send me back to do this again? When Kyle Stowers was here with the Orioles, he hit a .125. Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers were blocked here. They weren't. If you go back in the time, and I know people now go, well, I wish they would have traded Kierstead. Yeah, you wish they would have traded the guy they drafted, number, you know, their top draft pick, the best left-handed bat, right. The guy they were trying to work through.
And his problem is health right now. That's his problem.
But again, it's not like it's this revisionist memory of, oh my God, they shouldn't have traded Stowers. What was he doing here?
But even when I tell to Steph and ask him, you wouldn't trade Stowers for Rodgers? He stopped and said, well, yeah. I was, okay, so what's the point of wanting to be a fly on the wall for the scout? Michael Lyon said at the time of the trade, we see some things and we think we can get him back to form. Michael Lyon lied. He lied to us. You know why? Because he's better than he was.
Yep.
You didn't get him back to form. You improved him. What are you talking about? Give me a top of the rotation pitcher over a power hitting outfielder any day of the week
and twice on Sundays,
man. I'm telling you. Commission's Baltimore at 9 o'clock, but on the other side is the world of stupid.
Oh, buddy.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you how Ed compares to Dolphins. Oh, you like that, huh?
They like having sex all the time.
No, there's something else. We're also going to talk about a man in Colonial Williamsburg. Hear ye, let me see your pee-pee-pee-pee. And lastly, how about a guy that was playing hooky from work and gets caught on the Jumbotron? I know there's been so many of these.
It's right out of Seinfeld.
I want to throw it out there for you guys.
And the last guy at the concert.
It's all coming up in the world of stupid.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's start with the guy that's playing hooky. It said a fan playing hooky goes viral for animated reactions caught by the Jumbotron during the Tennessee-Georgia game. As he said, he got cold played. Have you guys ever had an incident where you, it doesn't have to be on the Jumbotron, but you called out of work or you were somewhere and then all of a sudden somebody comes across and is like, I thought you were doing this and no, you're here. Because you talked about Curb Your Enthusiasm. That saved that guy's life.
It did, yes.
If people don't know it, that some guy got accused of murder and then they found him at the Dodger game.
At the time of the murder. Yep.
At the time of the murder, and that's what basically freed him. Mm-hmm. Did you have friends or anybody get caught? Like, I've seen people get caught on the kiss cam.
Do I have friends?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, I mean.
I had a very good friend. He was a cop with me in the Midtown South Precinct in New York City, and Joey B.
But a friend,
anyway,
you know him?
He has a very nice family and all. But he also had a girlfriend, and she thought he was married to her.
Oh.
He becomes Daily News Cop of the Month. There's a picture of him with his family in the Daily News. The week after he was at a wedding with the other woman and her family, they had no idea he was married.
Oh, my God.
How about that one?
That's rough.
I got a military one. We were at Silver Flag Alpha in Vegas. My buddy took off. Sick. He said he was sick that day. Well, the problem is, He met Al's instructor's wife early in the training. And when he called out sick, he got caught at the instructor's house with the instructor's wife. The instructor went home for lunch.
Mm.
So, yeah, he got caught. I never got caught calling out slick. That's what we used to call it. You called out slick?
I don't think I've ever called out slick. I don't think so. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I don't think I ever have.
Oh, I have. I just never got caught.
All right, well, let's get to this story.
When I was younger, all the time.
I talked about what do dolphins and Ed Norris have in common. Well, apparently dolphins can recognize each other by the taste of their urine.
Jesus. Wow.
He's like, oh man, I wonder what do I have in common? Sorry. I had to set you up that way. Dolphins are able to recognize one another by the taste of their urine, a study has found. Researchers at the University of St. Andrews have discovered that the mammals can recognize friends and family members without seeing or hearing them, tasting them.
Well, and you know what I'm going to do to you now because of
that. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. How dare you, sir? I can't even tell people what it is because, no, don't.
You can't.
Just stop.
Doesn't that suck for you? Yeah.
Yeah, you jackass. the author said dolphins explored urine samples for longer if they came from known animals or when they were presented together with the dolphin's unique and distinctive signature whistle, an acoustic identifier that works like a name. So obviously the sounds and then, of course, the smells and even taste. they can find out who you are and recognize you. It is funny, though, like letting my dogs out back or when you take them for a walk. And all
sniff
of a sudden,
one another.
They'll get to this spot where it's like, hey, man, we're going for a walk. We're not stopping to sniff this ground for 20 minutes. And my dog will put his nose right in the ground. It's like, well, who is it, boy? What's her name? So I get down there and start smelling, and people in my neighborhood think I'm weird. But anyway, this last story, though, as I said, hear ye, show me your pee-pee, Ed. Man believed to have filmed thousands of males in Colonial Williamsburg bathrooms.
What?
He was filming men in a... Have you guys been to, like, Busch Gardens at Colonial Williamsburg? We would go there a lot. Actually, I remember being there when I was on the show with Garceau and that earthquake hit because we were at Water Country USA in Busch Gardens. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember when that earthquake hit Virginia not that long ago.
Who's he here?
Yeah. So you felt it here, but like we were in the room and I thought the people in the hotel next to us were having like some rough sex. I'm like, why is everything falling off the wall?
I was in Annapolis giving a presentation to the Annapolis PD and everything started going. I'm like, oh, there's a train passing by? Because it was train tracks outside. Next thing we're being evacuated.
Well, I was on air.
Were you? Yeah, it was about that time of day.
I was filling in for somebody.
Yeah.
I was filling in for somebody. I wasn't full time yet. Oh, it was 2011, right?
I don't remember what year it was.
Had to be because my son was young because I raced to get. He was home alone, and I ran up to make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
Well, George Thomas West, he's 76. Can I ask a serious question? Because I've always wondered this. When does the libido die down for men?
I think it depends on the man.
Because, like, I remember when my dad said to me, he goes, man, I prostate, like, he had prostate cancer. Or, like, you know, they were talking about chemo or surgery and all this.
Well, that's different.
And he didn't want to do chemo. But, no, my dad said to me one of the things that he went through, they were like, hey, you could use the loss. You know, you might not be able to use your the same way anymore, you know? And he goes, well, I don't want that. I don't want to live if I can't use it. And I'm like, how? You're going to be 70 and you're still using that thing like that? Like that? That's the most important thing to him?
Yes.
But he'd rather die than
it's more important than ever. What else do I have?
Oh, man.
Listen, I've had two shoulder surgeries, spinal fusion. I've had melanoma. That's the only thing that works. I want to keep it.
I'm worse now than I was in my 30s.
I am too.
Yeah. See? Well, all right. 76 years old, 17 counts of unlawful filming of another person. But you're also thinking at that age, like, that's what you want to do? You want to go out and film people in the bathrooms? Like, you have that sort of pervy.
Yeah.
Like, you could pretty much, no matter how creepy you are, you can find whatever you want online.
Oh, well, obviously now, sure.
You can find whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
And this guy's going out filming dudes in bathrooms. Mm-mm. And in Williamsburg, was he wearing one of those wigs? Like the white wig in there? And was he dressed up like George Washington and filming dudes? And no? Nothing? Nobody? Yeah? All right.
It's not like he's Spike Lee, like zooming in and getting different angles. It's probably just a camera and a toilet.
I don't know.
He got that from Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
I think he was checking out your Delaware River. Anyway, I don't even know what
that means. What?
Okay, so let's. By the way,
it doesn't even make sense.
Shut
it's
up.
Gross.
Shut up. Wes is accused of uploading the pictures and videos he took online to share with others. Confirmed with Nicole Trifone of the City of Williamsburg's communications director. The investigations take time as WPD obtains and executes search warrants and reviews voluminous. Quantities
voluminous.
Of evidence. Yeah.
Wow.
Voluminous quantities
of evidence.
You got
50 cents in your check this week.
Woo.
Using that word.
I sounded it out, Ed. All right, we got to step out of here, but that's your world of stupid.
Rudy Gay joins us at 9:15, but on the other side is Commissioner Baltimore. What you got?
We're going to talk to a man named Troy Lohman. Joe and I ended up, we were filmed for a documentary
in a Williamsburg
film.
Bathroom?
Oh, will you stop it? We were filmed about 5 years ago, I guess, for a documentary film, and the filmmakers just released it, and it came out, and I watched it, and we're going to have him on to talk about it. It's extremely timely, given what's going on right now. It's called Divided.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.